Oh no!
An earful of music.
You are now listening
to the Earful. Cheers to those ears.
See you next Tuesday. What is up, people? Holla, holla. Ty, are you there, my friend?
I am here from afar, my good friend, fucking Brilli.
How are you, sir? How the fuck are you? I feel like I haven't talked to you in, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks since we last did this thing?
Yeah, we might have chit-chatted a little, but my heart has been heavy with Earful. I need more Earful in my life. We got to keep it up.
Well, and that's exactly why we are debuting the first episode, season two of the Earful. And I am Tom here with Ty. And thanks to everybody that may have tuned in on our grand experiment last, we did it for a couple months back. But we did a weekly music countdown show with the Ono Radio Show. And we had a really, really good time with it. And what we typically do every week, we do the 12-track salute, count down some of our favorite tunes and tracks that we kind of share between the Ono radio sphere. And we put together this little 30-plus minute program, and, well, we actually did 20 of those Bad Mama Jammas, Ty. Can you believe that?
It happened so fast. It just shat out our musical asses, and it was great.
It did shoot out some musical asses. But I felt like we needed to take a little bit of a breather. We need to take a little bit of some space and start to kind of recompile some of these playlists. And we do have 12 tracks for you. But this season, we're going to shake it up. We're going to do some stuff that's a little bit different. And the one thing we really wanted to do this season is we wanted to introduce the idea of guest hosts on the on the Earful. And this very first episode, which is Earful 21, which is season two, we decided to bring in a very, 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 very special guest to join us on this very first adventure. And I couldn't think of anybody better to bring in than the captain of the shit ship himself, Mr. Owen Butler, ladies and gentlemen. Owen.
Well, who the hell else are you going to get, Tom? I mean, honestly, I feel like this is like the best person that you could have in on your as your first guest like episode. And I mean, thanks, I guess, for having me in on this. I've always enjoyed it. But what I'm going to do is pretty much ruin what you've created. You've created this nice little cute little thing. And honestly, I ain't no nice little cute little thing.
Yeah, but you know what, dude? If you noticed, I only brought you in the only proper way I know how to. That first track was actually called See You Next Tuesday, which happens to be one of Owen's favorite curse words, which he says all the time on the Ono Radio Show. And that was by Peter and the Test Tube Babies off One of Us. That's a 2017 track, and I just thought it was fitting to bring in the captain.
I'm gonna write a song just simply called Cunt. And it's going to be my cunt opus.
The cunt opus. I can't wait to hear the cunt opus. But Owen, thanks for contributing four tracks to this episode of The Earful. Actually kind of took some of the weight off of me and Ty just getting back into it. It was tough. What'd you say?
I give you like 8 tracks. What are you talking about?
Well, thank you for now spoiling the surprise of the new segment. But we also, what a great segue, Owen, into the fact that we have all brand new segments this season on The Earful, which one we're going to be debuting with our co-hosts, guest hosts today with Owen. I'm super pumped.
None of them are going to be as good as me, Tom, so I just want to put them up for the challenge.
Oh, wow.
Why don't you get in to our first track here, which I think is actually by me.
I'm going to go ahead and say it.
I think it's one of my picks.
Get the honor.
Dude, it is. And we would, of course, give our guest host the honor to start off the Earful. And I got to say, Owen, I dug this track, man. It was way more banging than I expected out of you, bro. I'm impressed.
Uh-oh. You're dancing.
He's not alone. It's got a lot of stanky disco sauce on it, Owen. I really dig this, man. Who is this artist?
See, I never really even knew who the artist was. The way I found this was because a friend of mine just said to me, hey, man, you ever heard any Italian disco? And I'm like, no. So I looked up Italian disco and realized that there's a ton of shit from like the 70s to like the mid 70s to like mid 80s that really is in just this cool vibe.
Hell,
it's like,
yeah.
It's their like own little disco thing.
Oh, it is rocking,
this,
man.
I believe happened to be Freddy the Flying Dutchman and the Sistanana Band. It's something just weirdly just, I don't know, how would you describe it? To me, it's just like, it's sort of infectious, and it's
totally infectious.
And
it's it's totally essential Italian disco as the album that it's off of, dude. Good find. And this shit was made back in the late 70s, like, you know, kind of early 80s, and it was just lightning in a bottle, man. This sound was it kind of only existed at that time, but it was just so hopping.
I know both me and Tom are closet disco fans.
Oh,
I say
sure.
Closet, but it's pretty pronounced.
I would agree. I think I always let my love of disco come through. But this is fucking. This is a delicious track, man. I love the track. It's a Voice Till a Five. Well, what a way to start off the show, Owen. What a way.
I didn't let you down, man, huh? I didn't let you down with my first pick.
It was
a good first
pick. It felt good, Owen. Off the gate, man. You done good, son. You done good. Now, Tommy's going to step in. Here's my first track. This is Sierra Simone, and this is Congratulator. It goes there.
It goes.
Good lord. Yeah, this dude is, I guess he's a German dude. I can't even pronounce his name, so I won't try. But basically, this guy claims he was influenced by Square Pusher, who we've all heard Square Pusher, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a broadly electronic group, which I think is really good. And I don't know why that stopped. Now it's going to start all over again. Whatever. But I really enjoy... Oh, shit. I really enjoy the flow of it, man. Like, this album is just all this. It just never stops. And it's all samples, which I think is pretty impressive to put beats and samples together and kind of get an entertaining album out of it.
What is it? Samples of it?
Yeah, good question, man. I don't really know exactly what he's sampling. I think he's just... I think he's sampling just various instruments, obviously, and throwing them all together.
Italian disco from the fucking 1970s.
Probably, because
it has that vibe,
right?
Almost. It's a kind of an interesting follow-up to Owen's track. But yeah, that was Congratulator off Youthiest 2013 album. Now, Ty, this your track, the next track up, obviously, we have had this track on an Earful before, but we've never had it as a featured track. It was actually an intro track, and I think it was like the second Earful. But, dude, I'm a big fan of Big Gigantic.
I do remember that after.
Off the same album. This is a dope track, though. Why did you go for this one?
I think you put out the pre-release when you put it out. Well, maybe not. This is from 2016.
It's a 2016 album. Yeah. It's dope.
And I jammed it hard to help myself when I picked another Big Gigantic track.
Yeah, it's all good, though.
Yeah, the song's off Brighter Futures album out last year in
Boulder, Colorado. These guys are from
Colorado. Folk
represent.
That's cool.
Dude.
I mean, I do love it when you get that hip hop sort of jazz sort of fusion type thing going on as well.
Yeah,
and that's what seems to be going on.
Yeah, they're an interesting group, man. It's kind of combining like this. Yeah, it's different, man. It's just combining that kind of almost like weird kind of dubstepy thing that goes on, but it's like tolerable, which I kind of enjoy.
I don't know if I'm slowly becoming more into EDM fucking dubstep and shit, but I'm finding out of it as opposed to
It most certainly has changed over time. I want to say that dubstep in general, when it first came out, I kind of loved it, and then it got old really quick. Am I not right in saying that?
I'm 100% with you on that.
You get hastily, shall we say.
Definitely.
All right, Owen, you're back up, my friend. Interesting choice, but I got to be right on with you, man. Huge, huge Alice Cooper fan.
I chose this.
Yes, I do.
I'm gonna tell you. I might have sent it to you wrong, and I meant to send you the actual song, Poison.
Poison,
the album track.
I mean, I still like this. I like this track.
This is true off of Trash. I meant to send you Poison, and the reason that I liked that song was for one real simple reason. I used to enjoy getting up, like, in, you know, summer days, right? Like when you're a kid, you got nothing to do, you're sort of bored.
Yeah.
I used to go through my dad's CD record collection, right? I used to just like that's how I got introduced to things like Zeppelin on my own, and like my dad would play things in the car, whatever it was, like we'd hear things, but it was my chance to be able to like discover things. And I came across 1989 Alice Cooper Trash.
Nice.
And the first song on that is Poison. Or it may not be the first track on it, but Poison is the track that I love. And the reason that I loved it was it used to make me feel dirty. He talks like in the beginning of the song, it's all like, it's like a hooker pulling up her like lace, you know, stocking type things.
Right,
like I imagine
right.
in mind, like he's talking about like ice cool ice drops dropping down her hot legs, and I imagine this like sweaty, you know, just metal lace thing. And to this day, I find lace really sexually attractive. That's also
thanks
why
to Alice
I
Cooper.
Love Alice Cooper's Poison.
All right, that's a fair enough assessment.
Can you play the actual song? Can you play?
Oh man, I'm not a DJ, man. You get the one track. Sorry.
You don't have Apple Music.
No, I gotta say, shamefully, I have to muscle up on my Alice Cooper. I don't have a lot of them in my discography, but every time I hear Alice Cooper, I have a few. I actually have a few vinyls from Alice Cooper, and dude, just the fucking vinyl covers alone, you look at this dude, you're like, this guy's got a fucking snake around him. He's got blood dripping from his mouth. I mean, he is a fucking madman.
I will say, Alice Cooper came out with the new album not all that long ago.
Yeah, he did, bro.
Ago,
did he really?
Yeah, dude, he kept it in there.
Is it good?
I didn't listen to it. I can't profess to have heard it.
You know who told him to stick with the gimmick, right? That was the first one to like give him the not the idea. He was sort of doing it, but like, hey, no, this is gonna work.
I feel like I've read this. I can't remember.
It was
facts.
Goddamn. What's his face? Zappa.
Frank Zappa. Yeah, sure, Zappa. I could see that. Zappa had that shock factor.
Yeah, he was like, no, that's gonna work. Keep doing that.
Okay,
so
well,
sorry.
Well, somebody who has no fucking shock factor is this guy, Mike Gordon. Mike Gordon, actually, surprisingly, is from Phish. So what a strange fucking departure from the guy from probably one of the biggest hippie jam bands in the world to actually debut sick. And try a, which I kind of figure to be like a, I don't know, electronic album, which is very off-putting for his kind of audience. But this is his track, Crazy Sometimes, off Ogo Ogo, 2017 track. I didn't mind it. I really didn't. I didn't mind the album either. I thought it was a cool departure for the dude.
I gave it a listen.
I mean, I'll give the guy that. He is musically sound. I mean, as much as Phish has a stigma, and obviously I am a unfortunately guilty person that in the 90s, I did smoke copious amounts of drugs and go see Phish. I fell out of Phish, obviously, just because I felt like I got way more musically diverse. But Mike Gordon, I guess.
As your first guest, I am relinquishing rules and saying that one sucks and that one should never be played on the show again.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you. Oh, Ty, what's your thought?
I dig this groove. I didn't listen to it for about 2 weeks. I saw it come out, and I knew who it was, but I decided to go against my better instincts and give it a shot. And I'll give that album like a 65-70%.
Yeah,
rating.
You didn't really like it.
No, there's songs on it.
I gotta be honest. As an album for a full, I think probably the re-listenable factor of it isn't big. There's some couple takeaway tracks on it, like that track. I just thought was a very sound track musically. I thought it was really good. But the whole music, the whole album as a full, I have to agree with you, dude. That's a perfect rating for it. I had to give it like a C. But I guess if we average Owen's F in there, I guess it's a D. It's a D grade for Mike Gordon on Go Go. However, Ty, this was a straight up A, brother. All right, Ty, take it away. Who is this?
Jaga Jazzist, or Yaga, I'm not sure.
Yaga.
A-J-G-A Jazzist.
Yeah, dude.
And the song is One Armed Bandit off that named album in 2010.
I can't believe it's that old.
It's got a vintage sound to it. It's that jazz, man. It's that jazz undertow.
I was playing some other delicious jazz at the house, and one of my good friends, Drew Yardis, who's a local musician here in town, was over. He's like, have you ever heard of this? Because this reminds me of this. I really want to hear it, and I was blown away.
Yeah, dude.
I listened to the whole discography. I like it a lot.
Where are they from?
They are a jazz band from Norway. They rose to prominence when the BBC named their second album A Living Room Hush the best jazz album of 2002.
Oh, that's a reward. Wow. I have heard that. Yeah, dude, it's like super easy listening shit, but it's also jamming.
I mean, you know, I like jazz, but I like jazz that's on the edge of shit.
Yeah, but have you listened to Norwegian jazz, man?
Dude, you have not listened to jazz until you've jammed some Norwegian jazz. Yeah, dude, they're pretty badass.
Exactly.
Ty had shared this album, and then obviously the other album, the live album of theirs. But I would call it like it's like jazz fusion. You know, it's got this different, almost electronic kind of thing too. In some of his, and then he has some albums where he does performances with like singers and stuff. So it's kind of very different, you know, in that regard. Long tracks too, Ty.
Yeah, it was tasty, long, delicious tracks.
All right, and guess what? That actually is track number 6. I can't fucking believe it. Jagga Jazzist. And as we do here on The Earfuls, is we always got to tell you peeps that we enjoy doing this. We enjoy kind of gathering all this music and giving you these samples, doing the show. But we also tell people you need to go out and you need to support artists, okay? You need to, seek out this music on whatever outlets that you use on the interwebs. Go to record stores, just go to a show, buy merch, you know, just give back. It takes time, it takes money to make this awesome shit.
Pick up hard CDs or something. Pick up a goddamn record. Support an artist. Go to a show. Pick up a shirt.
Boom.
That is absolutely correct. You got to keep the music community alive.
Amen.
Or the beautiful tunes won't keep coming.
They're not making money on CDs and shit anymore. Buy a piece of merch, you goddamn piece. You animals.
That's right, you filthy animals. You need to go out and you need to support the whole fucking culture that is music. Okay, so we done 6. Now we got 6 more to go. And let's kick this bitch off with the Arcs. I bet everybody's like, is that the guy from the Black Keys? And you are correct. It is the guy from the Black Keys.
I mean, I think we played a Dan Auerbach song on
We did, too. Actually. His solo project, I think it was one of your tracks, Ty, because I know Auerbach has done a solo career off of the Black Keys, but this is his actual other band called The Arcs. This was a really, really great album. It's called, this is Chains of Love off Yours Dreamily. And obviously, his voice alone just fucking sells it. You know what I'm saying? But the jams behind it aren't too fucking shabby either.
I'm into it. I didn't know you had this size project.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks.
High track.
Yeah.
Good choice, Ty.
You're jamming this.
I've definitely jammed it. Love it.
Stacey and everyone enjoyed a little bit of Deer Hoof.
Yes, sir.
Deer Hoof.
What a fucking name for a band, right?
Here's such an odd group. Like,
you know what's
tell
really...
me more about them.
Yeah, come on, Ty. Who Deer are Hoof. Deer Hoof?
Mountain Moves came out this year, and yeah, they're a San Francisco band, and they've been around for quite a while. I think I started listening to them in the late 90s, like 98, 2000,
damn,
somewhere in there. I found
them.
But they're from 1994, and yeah, it's I know the kind of Japanese singers Satomi Matsuzaki.
Matsuzaki.
Her voice attack is just so odd, but it's fucking perfect. I don't know. It's just a little off and perfect. It's weird. It's delicious. Damn worthy. If you haven't heard Deerhoof, you should get into Deerhoof.
You know what's funny is there's another band called Deer Tick, and I always get Deer Tick and Deer Hoof really screwed up. Deer Tick is nothing like
deer
this.
Hunter.
Yeah. There's actually a deer hunter as well, dude. A good lord. Okay. All right. Next track is, this is an Owen track. I'm going to play this begrudgingly, but this was an Owen track.
Oh. Thank you for playing this.
Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in until I'm victorious. And I will defend. I will defend.
Okay. Earful listeners out there.
I'm so sorry.
The reason that I picked this, one of the main songs that I would pick on this goddamn show is the fact that WWE has always had a history of producing some interesting and really good theme music. I mean, you got Shawn Michaels' Sexy Boy, you got The Undertaker's fucking theme. You know it. It's recognizable. It's a thing, right? So this guy, it's two guys actually, have been hired by the WWE, and they're the new generation of the creators of theme songs. And in their own right, they are all actually good pieces of music. They're solidly produced. It's it's by CFO with a dollar sign.
So you don't pronounce the dollar sign. You don't call it CFO money.
It's CFOs. It's CFOs.
Okay. Well, interesting choice, Owen.
It's always spelled with a dollar sign.
And it's really
play
funny.
A little glorious domination.
Okay.
And so I can just show my glorious domination over the show, please.
We have all been gloriously dominated by this track. What I found interesting, though, doing my due diligence to the show and doing my research, is that apparently the guys that actually produce these songs make a whole racket off of it by doing all the themes and program music for the WWE. Did you know that?
I'm saying,
I think that's, hey, what a racket. Why not make all the badass theme music? Well, I'm sorry, I'll take that back. All the music that these these guys walk into and all the promo music, and they've made a fucking bundle off this shit. And here, get glorious.
No, and they have, and it's what's interesting about it. Okay, go.
It's so beautiful. I feel like this is also could also double as a military ad on television. Join the army.
Oh, yeah.
Why does it say Bobby Roode? Can you explain that? Why is Bobby Roode in parentheses?
Because Bobby Roode is the wrestler that comes out to this song.
Comes out
he
to
comes
this song.
Comes out to it.
See, we learned something here on the Earful today.
Do you know what a Lazy Susan is? Like if
a Lazy
you're
Susan?
At
yeah.
dinner
yeah.
and the
yeah.
Lazy Susan
oh, yeah.
spins
lazy
around
Susan.
And around and around for your condiment, right? Well, he comes out and he basically, the lights come on and he's on a very slow moving platform that's like a Lazy Susan that basically just turns him.
A life-size Lazy
position,
Susan.
He spins,
right?
Yeah, and he turns, the whole time as it's going on. It's the best thing ever. I want to say that honestly, what's interesting about what the CFOs have done, though, is that they've able to very much take from all parts of society, be able to put that into a musical product, and be able to package something that is like so packageable or so dispensable, essentially, or just like digestible
right.
is the word I'm looking for.
Sure.
They have been able to find that, like, if there was a formula, they feel it. Do you
yeah.
know what I'm
oh, yeah, for
saying?
Sure. Well,
like,
I mean,
so
they've nailed it, obviously.
That's been why on a music show, I just wanted to put that in there just to kind of explain how I feel about it. Like, it's so brilliant that it's so formulaic, you know? Like,
right.
there's some genius in that to me. So there you go.
Alrighty. All right. Well, you know what? Go ahead. That was a good way to defend that, I guess. Point to Owen, maybe. And on to the next track. dancing on my chair right now. Catherine's looking at me like I'm retarded.
Yeah, I'm dancing. Ooh,
oh.
What is this?
Oh, yeah, this is Kid Bloom. The track is Electric You off A Different State of Mind, 2016 album. Apparently, Kid Bloom is a quintet, and they got that 70s psychedelia going on for sure, man. And this is just kind of an EP. There was like three tracks on it, but totally dug this track.
Can it be those tears of gold?
Yeah. Okay, Ty. All right, Ty. So I guess Owen had already chalked up one of the tracks as a no-go. I'm feeling like he's going to add this one to his list. This is Butte Math with Achilles Heel.
Like slower than the rest of the album. And it's got a
oh my god. Look at I'm gonna be straight up with you guys. I told you before the show, I like Mute Math. I've seen Mute Math live. They've surprised me. They have a lot of different diverse albums. That's my point. I give a point to Mute Math. Owen, what's your take?
Boring shit. Same shit that I remember hearing fucking 10 years ago and then
But when you
they
say,
don't have
but,
the right feel, man. They got no rock and roll. They got no balls. They got no nothing.
I really disagree with
that. Yeah, I disagree with that statement. I don't think you can say they don't have balls. They definitely have balls.
This is what I'll say. This song is not the balls of them, but still
it's not the balls of them
that I like.
Nah, fuck that.
There's was it last album? The album? No, two albums ago. That album was a masterpiece.
That was an amazing album, yeah. You know what's weird?
I'll admit that I listen to more, and I'll do that. I'll do my due diligence.
I'll send you the album.
But there's some early shit of theirs that is fucking garbage.
Okay, I'll agree that their debut, like, because they kind of came out like 2006 or so, was like their first album, and I have to agree that they fell on that. It was weird. Like, their first album, I would say, was probably their most poppiest of all their albums, and it fell into that kind of like. There were a couple tracks that, dude, I can kind of agree with Owen that was if people remember Mute Math by that, I can't blame you. But over the years since that time, their evolution as a band is pretty fucking good. Like I when you listen to their album that was three albums from that album, you were just like, holy shit, did these guys grow up? Did they lose a member? Did they smoke drugs? I mean, they just did something that clicked.
I'm willing to give them another shot. I'll definitely say that. But at the same time, Mute Math, come on, guys. Like,
come on, guys.
Get it together.
All right, Ty. And with that, with Mute Math, we are ushered into our 12th and final track, which will be actually an Owen track. So it looks like we had an Owen sandwich this year full with Owen had the first track. Owen gets the last track. This was an interesting track, Owen. An older track for sure, but let's jam on the sensational Alex Harvey Band.
I had to throw this in for my dad.
Awesome.
This is what I was raised on, but
cheers
I've also
to Owen's dad.
My dad was a roadie on this guy's tour.
Was he really?
Alex. This is framed 1972. He's glam rock before there was glam rock.
Oh, man. I just feel there should be a big haze of cigarette smoke wherever this guy's playing.
Down the street,
minding my own affair. This is a dirty, dirty track. Dirty.
When two policemen grab me and I'm unaware.
Oh.
They said, is your name Alexander? And I said, why shower? They said, you're the cat that we've been looking for.
Oh. This is dirty. So what did you find this in your old man's music collection? Flipping through vinyl?
There was always a joke in my parents' house. And my dad loved this band. And my mom loved Elton John. And My dad sort of used to poke fun at my mom for loving this gay musician. Like, oh, he's too groovy type. And you know, it was an innocent. It was the 70s. It was the 90s, but like it was a lot more innocent than that back then, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? And she used to always poke fun at the fact that, you know, my dad's favorite musician was, you know, Alex Harvey. And he was a drug addict, you know. He died
like
a drug addict.
Like any good rock and roll star, right?
Yeah, so it was always kind of the argument. Well, guess which one I kind of always liked growing up more? It was always, you know, a special place in my heart with the rock and roll and listening to the sensational Alex Harvey band. Now, I've listened to a multitude of their tracks. All of them being, you know, there's some shit. Like, I'll be honest with you, there's some crap that I can't believe that, you know, people enjoyed. But there was some real gems,
yeah,
you know, in the heart of it. This is one of them. So I just felt like I wanted to share that with you.
Well, an interesting choice. And I like these retro tracks. I think it's important, you know, just as much as like I feel like sometimes you're inundated with new music that's being thrown at you. It's just awesome to go back and find that old track that maybe you would have never heard of, and you dig it up, and then there's a whole discography to follow. And obviously, it seems like this guy rocked for a few fucking years pretty hard. So you could dig back on some sensational Alex Harvey band
thing that he did too, where he would like dress up in costume. He had a cane. Like,
he didn't do blackface.
He didn't do blackface. They didn't like.
I don't know if his name would have been the sensational Alex Harvey.
They looked like clowns at times, and then there were whole things like.
So you think Alice Cooper might have actually paid attention to this guy at a time, you know? Maybe. Alice Cooper's like, look at this motherfucker. I could take it up a notch.
Yeah. Scottish rock and roll blues music, man.
And gents, my friends, that brings us to the 12th and final track on this actual episode of Earful 21. Congratulations. Those are some interesting, diverse tracks. Owen, I think your contribution was good. We had some really good shit in there. We learned some shit. And as we get to the end of every show with the Earful, we do a segment. And you might be saying to yourself, well, Tom, what is the new segment for this season? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the new segment for this season with our guest host that will be coming on the Earful, we've created a new segment called the Earful Fiver. And the Fiver is five hard-hitting questions each one of our guests must answer in the form of a musical track of their choosing. So they got to pick a track that will best answer the hard-hitting question. And, yeah, man, the Fiver. You know, we always just try them out, man. And if they suck, they suck. But
I'm excited.
Okay, so, and guess what? And of course, the Fiver's going to have a weird theme song.
Oh, Shaka caught you, piece of fucking repeating shit.
And here we go, baby. It's time for the Fiver. Five hard-hitting questions, starting with track number one. A track 15-year-old you would jam loud and proud. Owen chose this track. Okay. Why?
An album.
Why Loud and Proud? Why the Strokes? You got a thing with the Strokes? You like the Strokes?
Oh.
I've always loved the Strokes. They
you
were,
should know this.
They were a rebirth of rock and roll for me. When I've been a kid listening to stuff that I feel that is probably underrated and like isn't getting its due, the Strokes invented it all and have this new vibe that is an old vibe that I've always tried to like, that I always relate to. Fuck yeah.
Okay.
I got this song so many times. Like, this whole album is this it, and this song in particular has a special part of my life. And 15-year-old me would blast this because he wants to be different than every other kid that's playing Trick Daddy at his school.
Okay, that's fair enough. Now, we also found out about Owen that he wore like a. Didn't you wear a hat in high school that was like a cool hat? Didn't you have a? Were you a cool hat kid? I could see cool hat Owen.
Wasn't a hat.
No, you weren't the hat
kid.
It
was a red corduroy jacket kid.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The jacket. So I see the corduroy jacket, and I see the Strokes. So, Good first answer. Moving on to track number two. It was a pick one. Either pick a track to fuck to, pick a track to fight to, or pick a track to forget someone. Go figure, Owen picked a track to fuck to. And he decided to pick the goddamn Stooges Down on the Street. And guess what? This is totally a fucking track. I mean, listen to them. They're fucking in the song. Yeah. So, what was your count of actually getting laid to this song? Oh,
this song is pure sex.
It's a very sexy song.
It's unadulterated, sweaty, hot, fucking fluids are flowing, sex, man. Wow. Like that is what hip hop and the Stooges did. And quite frankly, I mean, I've done it many, many a time. And I don't want to out my wife, Teresa, but she gets turned on by this song. So it's an instant that, you know, you go to.
She got a thang for the Stooges. Interesting choice. Track number three.
Well, Iggy Pop.
In the Fiber. A track that makes you think one of the happiest moments in your life. Okay. And Owen decided to go with this track. Catherine Wheel, Black Metallic. Never heard of this song, Owen, so... I'm very interested to the story behind it.
Play a little bit of the song before we start.
Never heard of Catherine Wheel.
Here's the story about that song. It came at a really like hard time in my life, right? Like,
okay.
And this is an older song. It's Catherine Wheel was big in the 80s. They're part of that shoegaze movement.
Yeah,
they got really big in that kind of whole shoegaze vibe or whatever. Catherine Wheel's great. Black Metallic is my favorite song of theirs. And it was sort of just like the question that was asked of me is one of the happiest moments of my life. And it was at a time where I was living in a place in Athens, Georgia, and I didn't really have anything going for me. And I kind of left my, you know, life in Florida and my future wife in Florida at that point. We had separated. And I was there and I was alone. And it was the song that I remember a turning point in life to come back home.
Coming back.
And even though it's sort of a depressing song, it's... It's really uplifting to me because of its sentiments that I have with it. So,
yeah.
All right.
If you could just play like towards the end of that song, like where it really builds up, like I want to say, like, I don't know, like 3/4 of the way through the song.
All right, hold on.
Tom, that would be awesome.
Oh, it got soft on us.
Dude,
that's what she said.
You understand what I'm saying. You know what I mean? A lot better if that.
Is this around the around that point?
Yep, we're getting there. Yep, we're right. We're right around there.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
Yep. Wait for it.
Building.
It's building. It's building.
The longest earful ever, but fuck you.
Thank God you didn't pick Iron Butterfly.
Yeah, might as well have.
Skin is black metallic. Skin is black metallic. Skin is black metallic.
There it is.
Yeah. So you can see why that could be associated with a happy moment, even though it's like kind of a downer of a song.
Yeah, it's got a lot of peaks and valleys, man. It's an interesting track.
I was coming home, and I was coming home to not only my family, but I was coming home to my to be one. You know.
All right. Well, track number four, a track that you are so ashamed of that you would lock it away somewhere where nobody, anybody could find it, and you would literally throw away the key.
Right.
Well, let's just say this is definitely a palate cleanse from the lovely story you just told, because you chose fucking Everclear? Did you have frosted tips at this time?
Very close to it. I'm pretty sure I did it.
I probably didn't.
Okay. Look, you know, we all have that track, and I kind of think that's the point of this question, is like, at some point in your life, this track kind of did it for you, right?
What was the question?
I said, at some point in your life, this track kind of did it for you, correct? I mean, as much as any of these, this is a question that is why you are ashamed of it, but it did something for you. Hell yeah.
There it is.
It's unabashed pop rock,
fuck
fucking,
yeah,
you know, trying to be punk rock guitars. And there's something, I've always loved the good melody. I love this song doesn't have any meaning in my life. I just fucking like the fact that that whole album, by the way.
It definitely is a tent pole in that pop punk movement that was gigantic during that time, though, because I definitely fell into it as well. I guilty pledge, do still like pop punk. Guilty pledge.
It's underrated.
Okay. And brings us to Numero 5 in the Fiver, our new segment here on the Earful. The year is 2064. Mankind has ceased to exist. Aliens have taken over Earth. They discover, while cleaning up the wreckage of the great human-alien war, a sealed container. They open it, revealing a single Vern CD with a note. This note is written by you and says, "To whomever finds this, play this track, for this is the single greatest piece of what my civilization called music left in existence. Learn it, recite it, pass it along to the future of all your beings." And I asked, what is that track? And you chose this track. And I gotta agree with you. Yeah. It's a goddamn good track, man. I am a sucker for the Velvet Underground, man.
Not a joke. I'll tell you why it's not a joke. It's because, quite frankly, the goddamn human race is a little bit ridiculous. And if there's anything the aliens need to know about what the fuck we're doing down here, it's that.
Yeah, I think if anything, maybe it reminds aliens that at a time, human beings and the human race, you know, we all can feel, and that's what music does, and that's what people allow music to do to them, is feel. And good idea to even take us out on this track of the Earful. Now, we'll go out on a more upbeat track, but regardless, I just think, good choice, man, because you know what? It's kind of a somber song, but it's a good song. It's a totally good track.
It's somber until it's not.
It's somber until it's not.
Guess what? There is a rush that you get out of any rough comedy. There's a rush that you get from having a conversation with a person. That rush, that adrenaline, that euphoria is something that actually exists. And if aliens understand anything about condition, it's the fact that we need to have a rush, that is part of what humans are built upon. And there might be other races that are not very docile, but never actually have that rush. We need, as humans, to put that out into the world, the fact that we mean that, right?
I can't. I cannot agree with you more, Owen. That was a fucking righteous sentiment, and that is true.
Adrenaline and... No, I'm hearing myself repeating that. But what I'm saying is ultimately that we all need that, that genuine adrenaline, which is a drug, into the brain. So maybe we do all need drugs in a weird way. You know?
There you go. Exactly. Just like fucking people need heroin.
Need it in a synthetic form, but we definitely need it as human beings because we have these things called feelings. All right. And if anything, this song demonstrates to a goddamn alien that feelings exist here.
They do.
That's
exactly.
It. You know, that's
feelings
the whole goddamn
perfect
point.
That should be the fucking, that should be the goddamn slogan of everything that is going on in our goddamn surroundings nowadays, is feelings fucking exist. So perfect, perfect summarization, my friend. And that's it, man. That's our show. That's Earful 21. I'm like super pumped. We did this. We had our first ever co-host Owen, who brought us some righteous tracks. And we're going to try to keep this thing up and keep it going. No, you didn't fuck it up. The best part about this is it's just like Ty and I said going into the second season. We said we just want to kind of take what we did in the first season. We want to shake it up. And I think that's what kind of makes a show great, is when you're willing to kind of pull it apart and make it different and try things. And I feel like, you know, hey, 20 episodes of just our musical taste, another 20, that's not that interesting. And I thank you, Owen, for finding those tracks, getting personal with me, and, like, doing that. That's really cool of you. Thank you, sir.
No, no problem at all. It's an honor to actually do this with you guys. I know I've been joking all night, and quite frankly, I've had 4 mimosas and a couple of beers today. So I'm sure
we wouldn't have it any other way, my friend. I'll tell you that.
Well, at the same time, I mean everything, like, or most of the things I would honestly say about, like, the music that I've picked and why I've picked it. That's music is such a personal thing to each and every one of us. Yeah. And I think that that's what's important about, and what's cool about what you guys are doing and what you invited me to do, was the fact to share, like, why these songs mean things, you know, to
that's
you.
Cool,
so
man. That's cool.
I want you guys continue that endeavor, and I'm just very thankful for you know, you letting me be the first guy to kind of do it. So,
well, we couldn't think of a better guest, bro. I mean, honestly, and I'm sure I speak for Ty as well when I say, like, thanks for letting us have a platform on the Ono Radio Show and giving us this opportunity to do something that we kind of already love to do. And It's fun, and it's going to be a continual fun adventure. We're going to keep to try to do these weekly for everybody and throw out some new jams and tunes. And, you know, we tell everybody that listens to the show that, you know, if you think we should be listening to something, you should share that with us. We recently started a Ono Earful page on Facebook, which we'll be keeping up now with each episode.
People are digging that, too. People are really getting into that.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of a new platform for us that we're going to get used to over time. But we do want to talk about music with you guys. You know, that's the thing, is like, if you're listening to this and you're actually, like, you know, picking a track or two that you like, that's awesome. But we're also extremely open to getting other musical tastes. And, you know, trust me, because Ty and I drive each other fucking crazy with texting each other music. So give us a break.
Yeah, dude, you really do. Like, I listen every week just because, like, honestly, it is the beginning of my week. I download the playlist and then...
Yeah,
that's what gets me going through my week. So I encourage other people to do so.
Thanks, so,
dude. And again, I love you guys. You guys are my pod brethren. I'm glad I get to do this with you guys. Let's take them out on some plugs. Owen, of course, our anchor show, the Ono Radio Show. When can people listen to that?
Yeah, Ono Radio Show is available every week, every Thursday at 8:30 at mixler.com/Ono Radio Show. But of course, more importantly, you need to go to onoradioshow.com and download the actual podcast, available on every podcasting platform, be it the iTunes or Stitcher, or you know how to find it. There's like Google thing. We're on there too. We're
just
on all of them.
Look it up. Ono Radio Show.
Yeah, just look it up. We're on Twitter at TheRealONRS. But more importantly, I want everybody to join our Facebook group. We have a Facebook group that is designed just for Oh No Radio listeners. Now, you can talk about Earful stuff in there. You can talk about Oh No Wrestling stuff in there. But ultimately, that's where we all conglomerate. So
yeah.
Get in the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/ Oh No Wrestling. And that would be the best place to find me and us. I guess.
Hells yeah. And
Shout out to Ono Wrestling and to the Ono Showcase
and to Nobody Cares Go Harder. All these great shows that are actually all this great content that's being created within our little pod family, which I think little is an understatement. It has really grown and I'm like super proud of it and I'm proud to be part of it. And I'm proud of our listeners and I'm really thankful for you guys. Thanks a lot. You know, that means a lot to us when we see you guys are downloading it. And I think with moving forward in the future, it's all about, you know, what's your feedback? And again, what should we be listening to? Because we're just trying to dish out those 12 tracks every week. And also, we always forget to add that we put these playlists up all the time over on the Oh No Radio Show Spotify channel. So if you go and look up Oh No Radio Show, every single episode is up
that's
there.
Where
you
I
can
get
go back and listen
that's
to
my,
like
that's
literally
my week
yeah
music.
You can listen to
every
season
week you guys put that up and it's awesome.
Yeah, man, and that's what we're going to continue to do. Season one is up there right now. You can listen to the 20. I think there's 21 episodes in season one. We're getting into season two, and it's going to be fun. We're going to do some interesting stuff. Another thing I would just kind of throw out there is, you know, maybe stick around like a little bit later on the track. There might be, you know, maybe some hidden tracks or something. So let's take us out. Let's go out on this Earful 21.
Yeah.
And all right, guys, much love. We're gonna go back out with the Arcs because that got me up dancing and I just want to dance some more on this Saturday night. Right. Much love, everybody. Cheers to those ears.
Cheers
to those ears. Much love, everyone.
Love, man.
The music.